Welcome to God's Heritage, the Women's Hour. I am Natalie Diaz. Join me as I bring you the stories of notable women in the Bible. I will also take you all across the globe to the lives of men, women, and children that have been touched by the Prayer First Movement. Stay tuned. House of Prayer Ministries continue to bring the message of the unadulterated gospel all over the globe. From the United States to Russia, from Latin America to Europe, we are a church committed to the preservation of biblical principles.
To the House of Prayer in America, you prayed for us. We thank you so much for your prayer.
Every time House of Prayer prayed, they were encouraged and blessed. You deposited in us a spirit of evangelism which grew like fire.
You will see us at hospitals, nursing homes, and homeless shelters, at food banks, orphanages, and prisons. We're actively ministering in our communities and everywhere we go. With affiliates across all continents.
This is Levi Newman. Reporting live from Jerusalem.
It was just a blessing to be able to be somewhere else and just to be able to witness to people and pray in a different country.
When they first built the church in Mexico, they go out.
And not only Mexico, but Brazil.
There are men and women all throughout El Salvador that long for the missionaries, the brethren, to come back to see them again because they saw something different.
We faithfully encourage pastors, workers, and congregation in churches and synagogues in many countries.
Every time that he was preaching, he would call me. He said, "Hey, you and your church, I need y'all to pray for me." He didn't have nobody else to pray for him.
We are a church without prejudices. We are a church without boundaries. And we are a church of all nations.
Y así hoy continuemos nuestra peregrinación hacia el cielo.
Welcome to God's Heritage. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's program is inspired by one of my favorite women in the Bible. Tonight, we're featuring Hadassah, or as she's more commonly known, Queen Esther. The story of Esther, as we have it in the book bearing her name, is described in 10 intensely vivid chapters. This scriptural record is not like your typical filmmaking story from rags to riches. Her account is that of a little girl who was born a queen by the foreknowledge of God. Without father and without mother, God led Esther to the guardianship of her cousin Mordecai. God, who understands all things, knew that she'd be safe and would be raised properly under no one else's care. In this life, there are none who are exempt from pain, heartaches, and difficulties. But Romans 8:28 gives us comfort when we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And God had a divine purpose for little Hadassah, who one day would stand before the king for her people. The setting of the Book of Esther is in the winter capital of the Persian Empire, Shushan the Palace. Esther was Hadassah's Persian name, and it meant a star. A very fitting name for one who was to become a star of hope to her people. Mordecai likely an older cousin, took her as his own daughter and raised her as a true father. By the scriptures, it is obvious that Esther became her daddy's little girl, obeying her dad in everything. When he charged her to keep secret that she was Jewish, she didn't question him. She simply obeyed, because she grew up with him and had learned that Mordecai was a man of true integrity. Later in the book, when he saved the life of the king by discovering an assassination attempt, he was not even commended for his good deed at that time. Yet, Mordecai was not bothered by this disregard. His interest was not selfish advancement. He was just trying to help. Even at the end of the book, when Mordecai is rewarded and advanced in position, we see him still seeking the welfare of others. Without a doubt, Mordecai's selflessness was passed on to Esther. Mordecai's life reminded me of an article that was published in our Prayer Force magazine many years ago. The title of this article is Others First or Love Conquers. I want to read a portion to you. Others must be a more meaningful word in the vocabulary of God's children. We must always be concerned about the spiritual and temporal welfare of others. We incur God's frown when we fail to share with others in time of need. Often, there are those about us who need kind words of encouragement. Let us emulate the example of God's children of old, of whom it is said in Isaiah 41:6, "They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, 'Be of good courage.'" Before we go any farther, I want to let you hear from a lady who was in the United States Navy, who has been to many places, and after seeing so many faces, came to one conclusion. Someone has to help. Over my life, I've come into contact with many different people. I've seen people from all walks of life. The countries that I've visited, I've seen many skin colors, many different languages. I've been everywhere. From the open markets of Colombia, where people haggle to get the best deal, to the world-famous Sydney Opera House, where people go to gain culture. You see the hustle and bustle in the busy streets of New York City and in Singapore, people buying and selling. But yet, one thing you see is that people are the same, no matter what language, no matter what they look like, no matter where they live, and each one in the things they do, trying to find happiness. A happiness that most never find. And so seeing that, knowing that each one has a soul, everyone wants happiness, looking for it in the success of life, and it's not there, it cannot be found in the successes of life, but in Jesus Christ. And you realize that someone needs to tell them. A self-centered life will always distract us from even noticing the unique opportunities we have to do good to those around us, especially those who are the closest to us, especially those that surround us every day. This is why I want to take time to salute our members of the armed forces, their spouses, their families, our veterans, and even our USO volunteers, who always made my day. Your selfless sacrifice does not go unnoticed. Many of you have said, like Mordecai and Esther, if I perish, I perish, and placed yourself in harm's way for the sake of others. God's Heritage salutes you. We are praying for you. Going back to Esther, I cannot forget to mention this peculiar feature of the book. The Book of Esther shares with the Song of Solomon the fact that it does not mention God or any divine name once through its pages. Yet, the fast-moving action in the book is eloquent with the overruling providence of God in bringing Esther to the throne at such a time. At times, God may appear as if he's hiding himself, but seen or unseen, he is ever accomplishing that which is according to his will. Now, that Esther had great personal beauty goes without saying. Her exotic features marked her out, and she was thus chosen as a candidate for the king's favor, who, when he saw her for the first time, must have been captivated by her physical charms. However, that is not what made Esther stand out. Outward beauty is not true beauty. Proverbs 31 and 30 tells us that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Beyond Esther's physical beauty, there shone a radiance of personality and character, which gave her distinction in the king's eyes. The king was able to see that she was not like the other women. Notice in chapter 2, verse 15, Esther did not ask for anything when she went to the king. Her conduct was worthy of a queen before she became one. At that time, Persian law held that one of royal line must marry a wife belonging to one of the seven great Persian families. Against this Persian law and prejudice, King Ahasuerus chose Esther as his queen. But what good is the story of Esther if we are unable to apply it to our lives? We are going to take you to the story of a lady who spent many years in the ministry and then found out that she had terminal cancer. This is a lady who is an example to the whole world on how to face such circumstances. Let's hear what she has to say.
I am very, very thankful for prayer, for the fact that I go to a church that does not tell me that life will be without trials and will be without tragedy, will be smooth sailing. I am very thankful for that. Get on your knees and pray. You know, when things happen, open your Bible. The answers are in there. You're not alone in these trials and these tragedies, and they truly are there to make you stronger. And when I realized that in my own self, it's very much easier, and there's even joy in it, because you know that these things, even though it's cancer, things come to people's lives, you know, whether I would be in church hearing the gospel, hearing the truth, and being helped spiritually, or if I was not, things happen in our lives.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 15, tells us that God delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This lady possesses the spirit of Esther. How wonderful is it to not fear death? What an honor to not just believe, but to know that heaven awaits. Let's hear just a little more of what she had to say to God's heritage and to the world.
Prayer to be healed, that is a good prayer, but if it is not to be, then the prayer is, God, help me to go through what you would have me go through. And that's where my prayers are focused. And if God chooses to heal, then that's wonderful. And if God chooses not to heal, I believe and trust that he'll see me through. And all through prayer, everything to God in prayer.
It's not impossible to have the right approach to things. And this lady proved it. Now, I want to insert that there is a right approach to searching the scriptures. It is good to simply focus on gleaning the ethical principles of the books of the Bible. As was said last program, the Bible gives us an honest picture of humanity. In other words, the Bible shows us the good, the bad, and the ugly. To say that something is acceptable behavior because it's found in its verses is as senseless as to say, I put my hand on the red-hot stovetop because I saw everyone else doing it. So history repeats itself, and every new generation seems to never learn the lessons from previous ones. Somehow, we all seem bent on putting our hand on the hot stovetop to just find out that it burns. Here, in the book of Esther, Haman and Mordecai still hung on to their ancestry the wrong way. Haman descended from the Amalekites, and Mordecai from the tribe of Benjamin, specifically from the family of Kish, which was King Saul's father. Historically, Saul, the first king of Israel, rebelled against God and failed to fully destroy the Amalekites. Needless to say, Haman's hatred for Mordecai and his people did not stem from Mordecai's act of not bowing alone. It was a bitterness that had been planted in him from a child. Haman, a godless man, hated that man who minded his own business and focused on obeying God and doing his best at work simply because of his godly heritage. Haman, the chief court favorite, was the Jews' enemy and had conceived a plan to massacre all of them. Incident after incident, a climax of difficulty is reached, and the knot is so tied that it seems impossible to escape. Meanwhile, Esther is unaware of the plot against her people. Up to this point, Esther had concealed her despised but honorable descent. When a person has gone up in the world and has achieved a position of power and eminence, it requires real strength and beauty of character for that person to still love and remember the simple people from whom he or she sprang. Humble girls have often married rich men and have forgotten their origin. They have, in fact, been ashamed of anything that might remind them of it. This was not the case with Esther. Esther dared to risk death for her people and so escaped dying with them. God used her as an instrument of his divine providence for the working out of a glorious purpose. There had been preparations of humiliation and prayer, and when the king held out his scepter and she approached to make her plea, the cry was in her heart. But what can best describe this than to read it directly from the scriptures? So I want to read to you from Esther chapter 4, verse 15, through Esther chapter 5, verse 3. Then Esther bade return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. Exhorted by Mordecai, Esther revealed her Jewish nationality to the king. This courageous action brought about a complete reversal of the decree to kill the Jews. Haman was executed. The king honored Mordecai, and Esther's position as queen was considerably strengthened. It is because she saved the Jews from destruction that the book of Esther is read every year by the Jews at the Feast of Purim. This feast is held every year at the 14th day of Adar. House of Prayer Ministries sent a group of missionaries to Israel around that time of the year. There, they met a man named Jonathan, and this is what he had to say concerning Purim.
Purim, it's like when in the past, when a man, a Rasha, want to kill all the Jews, so instead of all kill all the Jews in Paras, Haman and his all his sons were killed. Esther was Achashverosh's wife, the king of Paras, and Esther was a Jew. The king of Persia wasn't Jew, and she was noted about Haman that he was the server of the king, and because of that, she know that he want to kill all the Jews. So Esther tell that to Mordechai. He talk with the king to make all change with Haman.
And so Esther, along with the council of Mordecai, delivered her nation from disaster. As a woman, Esther was that rare individual with a mixture of virtue, strength, and courage. This program was dedicated to another Esther, to Mariah Michelle Dennis. Next program, we will look at the life of Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel. A woman who shed bitter tears, yet she kept her sweet words. She brought her circumstances and her sorrows to the only one who could help her. She kept her composure, even when the situation seemed to merit an outburst of emotion and discontent. We will learn that self-control is key to keeping a cool head, and that patience is paramount in order to see the day when things turn around. Gain strength and see the light at the end of the tunnel. When life seems so unfair, take courage. Hold on, because it won't always be this way. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, we invite you to call our toll-free prayer request line. There is someone standing by 24/7, ready to pray with you. Call 1-866-414-PRAY. That's 1-866-414-7729. Our international prayer request line is also available in several languages. call us toll free at 1-833-772-9482. Again, that's 1-833-772-9482.